الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the tricks that Shaitan pulls on an individual is to get them to think that they're too busy in their life to engage in Islamic goals or Islamic objectives. I mean, there's a lot of things that we want to accomplish in our deen, and what Shaitan leads us to use as an excuse to rationalize not pursuing those goals is the fact that we're quote-unquote way too busy, and our life is way too complicated. And the problem with this is that the person who falls prey to this trick assumes what we call a victim mindset. And the person, who's a victim, one of the biggest problems of that type of thinking is that they don't get themselves out of the quandary that they're in. They're in quicksand, and they always want to garner pity or feel bad about themselves. And while that might assuage their internal cognitive dissonance, it doesn't get them out of the mess that they're in, and it doesn't change the situations. So we should actually take a step back and take an objective look at what it is that makes us so busy in our lives. One of the things that we should probably appreciate is that there are several factors which are involved here. But one of the factors that are involved is just the complexity of modern life. And particularly living in an industrialized first world nation, while we enjoy many amenities and while we enjoy many comforts and many technological advances, all of those things come with a price tag. And the price tag is being busy. So, in much more looser societies, which are much more casual, you're not clocking in exact hours. There, if you need to submit some paperwork, it's not as cumbersome or as regimented. If you want to make some small alteration to your house, you don't have to make sure that you pull a permit and make sure that it meets 50,000 codes before you can make some simple change to your home. I mean, it's just, people say that sometimes, we may be overly red taped, overly bureaucratic, overly regulated governmentally. It also establishes a certain sense of order, a certain sense of you know what to expect. There's organization in the societies that we live in. But the flip side of that, like I said, is the fact that it also becomes really complicated to navigate that. So much so that you take like an average, 16-year-old, he doesn't really know how to navigate, the quote-unquote real world. Right? How does health insurance work? What's a 401k? How does retirement work? What is financial planning? How do you purchase a house? How do you purchase a car? Each one of these things, which were normally should just be sort of a simple, sales transaction, we find that it's way more complicated, overly litigated, overly lawyered. So there's that one aspect of that, and you don't necessarily see that in other societies where things are just not that complicated. But we live where we live, and we are who we are. So that's something that we don't necessarily change. Another aspect of that, and there is a spiritual dimension of this, is that it seems like in other places, there's just way more barakah in the time. And I think it's probably, associated with, just having less dunya. The dunya is sort of like a black hole. It just sucks the barakah out of life. And so we're living in the headquarters of the dunya, in a sense, right? We're at the epicenter, so to speak, of the dunya. And so there is a spiritual toll that comes from that. And part of that is that it occupies a person. It just makes things so cluttered. And that's why you see a lot of people making this huge push towards, you know, minimalism and getting rid of things and so on and so forth, because they're just so tired of all the noise. That being said, if you were to sort of just take a step back and look at, on a daily basis, what keeps us busy, there's going to be, you know, you could vaguely divide them into three main categories, right? There's certain things that we need to do, right? So you have to use the bathroom. You know, a person may have to go to work to earn a livelihood. There's certain things that you need to do. And there's certain things that we don't necessarily need to do, but that we probably should do, right? You should spend a little bit of time with your kids. You should teach your kids, so on and so forth. And then there's a whole category of things that things that we want to do, or that give us quote unquote pleasure. And you know, if you reduce this, really it comes down to one category of things which are necessary or needs, and another category of things which are wants. And if you really look at things which are needs, those needs are very minimal, right? We just covered this earlier today in Riyadh al-Salihin, that you know, the son of Adam has no right except in four things. Meaning that, yes, you need a house to live in to protect you from the heat and the cold. And I think in another riwayah, it's like just like a hole to crawl in. So it's nothing, you know, nothing fancy per se, just a place to shelter yourself. In fact, one time the Prophet he was passing by some of the Sahaba and they were mending their huts, right? These were not mansions, these were huts. And when he passed them by, you know, he said, like, what are you doing? He's like, what is this? And they said, you know, we're just fixing our homes. And then he says that, oh, you're trying to make, like, you know, putting some mud or plaster or whatever to make them more reinforced, or just, you know, just mending them, actually. And he said that, you know, death is close. I see death closer than that. And he just sort of, you know, even that minimal investment. So, I mean, but it's one thing, right? It's a house you need to live. You need clothing that would cover your aura. And then this is something that we saw from the Sahaba, like Mus'ab radiallahu an, that, you know, he was a person who actually used to have a lot of wealth. And he was like, you know, one of the handsome youth of the time. But when he came to the deen, when he passed away, he only had one, you know, piece of clothing in namra that was such that if you were to cover his head, his feet would be uncovered. And if you were to cover his feet, his head would be uncovered. But you need, you know, clothing, something to cover yourself. And we see the Ashab al-Sufa, right? They had, you know, some clothing, but it wasn't anything fancy. And some coarse bread and water. These are the four things. That's what you need. And the things that you need to engage in to basically take care of that, right? So if you have a house to live in, you know, you have to pay for the bills and the electricity and set that up and so on and so forth. So in general, if that's sort of the minimal bar, right? Those are, if you want to think about those things that a person is not going to be asked about on the day of Qiyamah, that's about it. And then on top of that, the things that we pile on, right, we're potentially liable for, to have to answer for. And so the closer that we move in our lives in general to what we need, and you know, to that minimal bar, one of the things that we'll see is that the less busy our lives will become. And this is something that I learned from, you know, my teacher, that he would say that every time you get something in the dunya, it comes with strings attached. And you know, let's just, for a practical example, say you have a carpet in your living room, and you know, it's, the carpet is there, it's something that is under your feet. But sometimes people get bored. They're like, "Oh, I don't like this decor," you know, and I'm just bored of it. So let's change it. So what happens now? You spend hours on Wayfair, looking at hundreds and hundreds and thousands of items, trying to find the perfect carpet, and then you finally find one that you think is going to work out exactly. But then it happens to be out of budget. Then you have to take several more hours trying to find something that's similar to that, but that fits within the budget. And then this is just one thing, right? This is just like one piece of one item of furnishings within the house, and then you have so many other things in the house, and you have so many hobbies, and you have so many other things that we engage in that we don't really need to, and very quickly a person's time becomes very full. But you know, if a person doesn't really have to take care of that and doesn't really care about all of that, then all of a sudden you've recaptured so many hours and so much more free time back into your life. So if you look at it overall, there's a certain busyness that exists of living, right? We have to get ready in the mornings, we go to work, you know, we have to take care of the kids, you have to feed the kids, you help them with their homework, you're paying your bills. But so there's a certain, that type of busyness is going to exist whether or not you're, you know, have a full-time job or you're home and you're retired. You know, it's going to happen even, there's a certain type of busyness when your kids are growing up and you have an empty nest. There's a certain baseline of things that you just have to do just to exist. And then that's not something that a person is necessarily liable for. Things that serve the needs that we have in our life. But the key really is to minimize the busyness that we create for ourselves by engaging in things that are above and beyond the things that we really need. So if you were to look at the first category of things, those things that we just need to do and just are part and parcel of living, with those things, one of the things that a person should do is to try to make their lives more efficient in those categories. So for example, you know, if a person is doesn't know what to cook, so then she calls her friend. She's like, "What are you making today?" And say, "I'm making this." And then she says, "Oh, that sounds good. Let me ask my husband and let me call the kids and see if they want to eat that." And they're like, one person says yes, the other person says no, and they're like, "Okay, no." And then let me call my next friend. Yes, you have to feed the people at home, but it's extremely inefficient to go about it like that. One thing is just to make a plan at the beginning of the month, is that this is what meal is going to be on such and such day. And that's how it used to be at mother's side, right? It was very regimental, very military-like. You know, Tuesdays was dal, right? And you know, every morning you're going to get two pieces of bread and there's chai. And there you might have some biscuits. I mean, it was very, you knew clearly what to expect and it was fine, right? And life went on. You know, you can cook at the beginning of the week and keep it for the rest of the week and just freeze it. So these type of things can create efficiencies. And the other thing is that a person can try to be more disciplined and organized. So, you know, keep a place for everything, you know, packing a person's lunch so that you're not looking for, you know, 15 minutes for your keys and then getting mad at everyone. And it's just chaos. So when a person creates a certain level of discipline and organization in their life, then that certainly helps. And obviously, the less things you have, the easier it is to be organized. And the less complexity of things that a person is, you know, engaged in, the more easy it is to be disciplined. But then, with the other things that are above and beyond that, there's seven general advices I just wanted to share. So one of the things is that one of the ways that you minimize getting caught up in this rat race of filling in things above and beyond what's needed is trying to avoid the upgrade. And you know, this is something that we see in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went from being an orphan, and he had inherited from his father, all he had was barakah, right? And I believe he had a mule, if I'm not mistaken. And if you look at, you know, he went from that situation where he was just a six-year-old, and you go through his entire life until he is the king of the prince of Arabia, 124,000 people, right? When he is giving the khutbah at Hajjatul Wida, there's Fath-e Makkah. But you look at his entire life, and you know, as one of my teachers said, he said, "Where's the upgrade?" Right? There's no upgrade. In fact, they say that when it comes in narration that when he passed away, all he had was he had a white mule, dulul. He had some weapons, and he had some land that he had gotten, like I think some from Fadak, some from Banu Nadir, so on and so forth. And all of those things that he had, he actually gave away and gave as charity for the Muslimin, for the wayfarers before he passed away. So he literally had nothing. So there's no upgrade. And so when you think about how was the person you know, in 23 years, you know, 23 years, you can hardly barely make it through school. He changed the entire course of humanity. Well, he was very close to that baseline, right? And that's one of the things that allowed him time to give other people time, to serve other people, to teach other people, to engage in ibadah, because he didn't have other things that he had to work about. And he wasn't looking about, okay, let me acquire another piece of land and let me get another horse, and this horse is not fast enough, so let me get that horse, and this weapon doesn't have a beautiful hilt, so let me go and have a, you know, a few forays of caravans going to Syria, and when they come back, I'll get profit from that, and I can use that to buy this. And, you know, this wife wants a nicer house, so let me try to get the nicer house for all my... I mean, you just don't see that happening. And that's one of the things that allowed the Prophet on a very practical basis to accomplish so much. The second advice is just about shopping. You know, Maulana Shafi'i Thanwi, he said, don't go to the store looking for your needs. And what he basically meant was, let your needs drive you to the store, but just don't go and hang out in the markets. You know, this is Abghadul Aswaq. These are the most, you know, hated places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most beloved places are the masajid. So people who say that I'm too busy to make it to the masjid, but then how did you find 2 hours to drive, you know, how did you find a half an hour to drive to the mall and spend 2 hours there and come back? And you literally bought nothing, nor did you have any reason to go there, or, you know, you're just window shopping. So, well, I mean, if you just cut that out, and in this day and age, it's not just going to the physical mall, and particularly in a COVID reality, it's also virtual shopping, just spending time endlessly going on webpage after webpage, looking for one thing, and like, you don't have anything to buy, you're just browsing. So that's deleterious, because when you look, then eventually you're going to get hooked on something, and then you're going to look for deals, and then you're going to look for updates, and it just creates clutter. The third advice is that, you know, entertainment in a person's life should be intentional. And what that basically means is that if you're going to engage in things which are for fun or to relax or to chill, then the intention should be that I'm doing that so that I can recharge, so that I can continue working on my akhirah. Because, you know, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, and it's natural for people to get tired. You can't just tell someone, you can't tell a kid, just read Quran. Or why are you bored? Just read Quran. I mean, you can't read Quran all the time. Obviously, you need to be doing some other things sometimes. I mean, there's some awliya, obviously, that's their, you know, entertainment, obviously. But for the vast majority of people, they're going to sputter out if you keep on telling them, just do deen. So you need a break. And so it's okay to take a break, but the break should be intentional and it should be directed. And the idea there is to recharge. And when you can do it with that intention, then even that, inshallah, will be rewarded. The fourth advice is that in the same way that people, that we, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that tell the believing men, right, and believing women to lower their gaze, and you don't look at the opposite gender, a person should also be careful about extending their gaze too much about the glitter and glamour and the flashing things in the dunya, right? If you look at enough, you know, amazing houses and enough of, you know, beautiful faces and beautiful bodies and enough of, you know, fancy cars and enough of, you know, exotic locales, then eventually what's going to happen is that a person becomes discontent with where they're at. And that discontent actually drives them to start, you know, getting an upgrade. And that's not what, that's if you stop looking and are careful in guarding the gaze from such things, then it's easier to become content. Which leads me to the fifth point, which is that a person should learn to enjoy the simple things in life. Going for a walk with your wife, you know, just listening to your kids laughing, you know, bubble bath with the kids, reading them a book, picking up a book and reading it yourself, you know, writing a story. Things that don't cost anything, there's a lot of things in the everyday, in the mundane, that if you just stop, you know, sitting there and admiring the moon, sitting there and looking at the stars, sitting there and, by a lake and just making dhikr. There's many, many simple things that a person can do in their life, which will save them from, quote unquote, complicating their life. The sixth advice is to make sure that a person makes an effort to spend some time with people who are poor. We often live in these pseudo bubbles of people who are affluent. You know, everyone in the masjid is a doctor or an engineer or some type of professional or a dentist or a pharmacist or something. Everyone has nice cars, this, that, and the other. And sometimes we forget how the vast majority of the people actually live. That is not normal, right? The bubbles that we live, the average Muslim in this country is more educated and more well off than general populace. You look at how normal people live, and when you look at a normal, the vast people, number of people that live very normal lives, you'll be surprised at the type of decisions that they need to make. You'll be surprised at how many of them might even just have to eat canned meals for dinner, and then they have to ration how many snacks that they have to buy. And one of the things that also comes when you spend time with people who are not that affluent, you begin to appreciate how happy that they are with just, like I said, the simple things. Sometimes you find that the people who don't have a lot have the most generous hearts. They're more generous with their time. They're just more connected, and their feet are on the ground. And so it helps to ground us by spending time with such people. And then the seventh advice is that to relish hard work instead of comfort, because comfort often leads to sloth. And when a person gets out of this idea that I just want to have an easy life and not work hard, when people start making that a goal, they're actually making a goal that's sabotaging their own selves, because life doesn't become necessarily beautiful when you have nothing to do. Actually, it becomes tortuous, right? That's what ISO would be, right? If a person's put in jail and you have absolutely nothing to do, that's pretty, tormentous. The idea is that, a person should be have a good work ethic and understand what we call ladhatul amal. And this is one of the things that the Prophet instilled in, for example, the person who was begging. He tried to instill within him the pleasure that exists in just working and working hard instead of just begging and trying to be, lator, just cutting corners and taking shortcuts. So when these things become minimized, then automatically you find that a person will have much, much more time to do other things in life, right? You'll find time to read Quran daily. You'll find time to make zikr. You'll find time to do mutala. You'll find time to review your notes from, the last retreat. You'll find time to volunteer for your local charity, so on and so forth. And part of the reason for that is because nature abhors a vacuum. When you create a vacuum, inshallah, it gets filled in with other things which are more meaningful. But so this is one way to approach it. It's by taking out all the things which are extra and then allowing other things to fill them up. There's another way to approach this as well. And the other way to approach this is to start taking on responsibilities. Start creating a pressure. And when you have a closed system, when the pressure starts building within the closed system because of these other responsibilities that a person has taken on, it will start pushing the other stuff out, right? So, for example, if you know that every Wednesday you're going to have a meeting for a certain relief organization, and then you start an Arabic course and you have to do homework on that, and that's taking 2 hours a day, and then you still have to take care of the kids, and at a certain point, that type of pressure, then other things will start falling off. And so what are the things that might start falling off? Well, you no longer have 2 hours to sit around watching a movie. You no longer have, the 45 minutes just browsing the internet aimlessly, not knowing what you're doing or why you're doing it. So all of those things sometimes, all of those things start to fall off by creating that counter pressure. And so this is coming at it from the other side. By start stacking things off and then starting letting the other stuff fall off. And one of the things that what happens is when a person does this, you'll see an actual expansion in your time. It's like spending money. When you start spending money in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it takes a certain amount of tawakkul, but then you see barakah coming into your money and into your wealth. In the same way, when a person starts spending their time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in Islamic endeavors, so on and so forth, then that actually starts to bring in and attract barakah. And it creates an expansion of time. So you are able to end up doing a lot more things in the same amount of time. You know, for example, like right now I'm off on paternity, and you know, from morning to night my day is still relatively full. And then I look back and I'm like, wait, how was I holding a full-time job and still doing most of these things anyway? So what happened? It's the same 24 hours, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a certain barakah in your time so that you were able to complete those tasks as well as other tasks as well in the same amount of time. And when a person does this, you have to also be careful. Yes, you should have tawakkul, but don't overextend yourself. And that's the same thing as with wealth. Yes, you should give in charity, but don't spend so much in charity that fataquda maluma mahsura, that you know, you sit down and you're blameworthy, you overextended yourself, and now instead of giving to others, you yourself are begging. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to take on so many responsibilities that your family's starting to fall apart, your wife is overtaxed, the kids are getting neglected, and your job is suffering. And that we don't do it like that. But you can take a certain leap of faith and start adding one or two things and see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives barakah in that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognizes that, you know, this business of living, it's not like it's not understood, and it's not something which is unique to the 21st century. You know, what it comes in the Quran, inna laka fin nahari sabhan tawila. Indeed, for you in the daytime is very long, and the word used here is sabha, like you're really busy during the day. But sabha is the same root letters as to swim, right? Sabha yasbahu. And the idea is like you're swimming from one task into another. It's like the amount of busyness that exists is liquid like water. As soon as you transition from one activity, there's another activity. But what happens is that when you're done with that, then what comes after, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. But when you're done with it, then remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then devote yourself fully, completely. And so when you're finally free, and there are times when we are free, and those are times that you have to make it count. So when you take the 5 minutes or 15 minutes aside to actually pray salah, then make the salah count. Pray with khushu and pray with khudu. When you have the 5 or 10 minutes and you have a choice to go on social media or you have a choice to read Quran, make the choice to read Quran. Right? And this also comes up in Surah Inshirah. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. That when you're done, the idea is that, yeah, you're going to be busy with other things, but no, you're not always busy. There are times when you finally do wrap up. And when you do that, then fansab, that's when you need to erect yourself. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. And then you seek your Lord eagerly. You don't want to squander that extra time, those 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 hour that a person might have in the day surfing or reading things which are worthless, or watching TV, or watching movies, or playing around aimlessly, or talking, or chilling, so on and so forth. We want to make those moments count. And inshallah, if you can make those moments count, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy, will overlook the other times that, you know, maybe we could have done more, but we were busy doing other things, or we were involved in other things that kept us occupied, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overlook that and count it, that if we had that time, we would have also devoted for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to prioritize their time wisely and appropriately in a way that is pleasing to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.